Tonight, we're going to begin in Psalm 46. Psalm 46. We are going to be talking about knowing God and the knowledge of Him. And here in Psalm 46 is a fairly well-known phrase, which is part of a verse, in Psalm 46, verse 10. And it says, "Be still and know that I am God." This is, in a lot of ways, contrary to what goes on in a lot of churches today. A lot of churches today are about being busy for God, or about, you know, always having something to do. And not only are our churches like that, but our society is like that. Our society is a society of extreme distraction. We distract ourselves in a million and one ways, and just about every day we come up with a new way to distract ourselves. We distract ourselves with television, with radio, with these little phones that we carry around with us. I mean, there is no reason why every moment of every day can't be involved in something. Whether, no matter where I am, I got this little thing, I can open it up and I can see anything around the world on the internet. I can listen to stuff, I can listen to books, I can listen to music. When I'm in the car, I've got a radio everywhere I go. I can turn that thing on and I can listen to music. I can listen to talk radio, I can listen to sports radio, I can listen to political radio, I can listen to just about anything I want to. When I get home in the evening, I got a television with a bazillion channels. You know, it was not very long ago, because I'm not that old, when there wasn't but three television channels, you know. And that was enough distraction right there. And now we've got literally hundreds of television channels. I mean, the reality of it is that we are highly distracted. There's a guy that wrote a book, and it was a secular book, but the name of it was something along the lines of Amusing Ourselves to Death. And that's what we do. That's what our society is like today. There's this constant distraction. And I don't think that that is by accident. I think that Satan has helped us to get to this point. Because one of the things that he knows is that as long as we never clear our mind, as long as our mind is constantly occupied by something, then it won't be occupied by thoughts of God. God communicates to us in a lot of different ways, and he communicates things differently. Sometimes he communicates through the situations that we come into in our lives, and sometimes those things just grab our attention. Sometimes those things are sicknesses, sometimes they're deaths, sometimes they're accidents, sometimes they're storms, sometimes they're all kinds of things that grab our attention. And God also communicates to us through things like the Scriptures, that we can read and we can see and we can understand. But sometimes, and there are some things that we will never get unless we can be still. Unless we can have a quiet mind and just sit in the presence of God and get to know Him. And that's what this verse is talking about. It says, "Be still and know that I am God." There's some things about God that we won't know until we get still and quiet and undistracted and just listen. This word, "be still," it means to relax. It means to cease from striving. Now, that's something in the church today. There's a whole lot of striving to please God. And there's not necessarily anything wrong with striving to please Him, because the Scriptures talk about that we have to diligently seek Him if we want to find Him. But yet there is a time and a place for ceasing from striving. There's a time and a place for just relaxing and letting go of all these things and letting Him speak to us. This word here, to know, means to learn or to perceive or to recognize. There are things that we will not learn about God. There's things that we won't perceive about Him. There's things that we won't recognize, even though we've read about Him in the Scriptures and we have all this knowledge in our heads that we've heard from preachers, that we've heard from teachers, that we've read for ourselves in the Scripture. And some of this knowledge, we won't really perceive and learn and recognize the truth of it until we stop for a moment, till we cease from our striving and our activity and our actions and just let those things marinate in our minds and allow God to speak to us through what we've read and what we've heard and to communicate Himself to us in a more intimate way. We tend to know a lot about Him, but we tend not to know Him very well. And there's a big difference there. This word know in the Scriptures is a very intimate word. It's actually used of the relationship between a husband and a wife and the intimacy that's there. And God uses that same illustration of His relationship between us, where He is our bridegroom and we are His bride. This knowing of Him is to be an intimate one. And sometimes to have an intimate relationship with someone, we have to just be together and be quiet and get to know each other. So He says, be still, be quiet, be relaxed, and get to know Him, to perceive these things, to begin to recognize Him for who He is, because He is God. He is Jehovah. He is our Lord. Now, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy, or of the Holy One, is understanding. Now, the very beginning of getting to where God wants us to be requires that we begin to know Him and that we begin to understand Him for who He is and have the right kind of attitude towards Him. And this knowledge of Him and this attitude towards Him, a lot of that comes from a quiet thinking about Him and beginning to experience Him in this quiet place. Jesus talked about going into a closet and praying before the Father where nobody else can see. In a closet is a place of seclusion, a place of quietness, a place of stillness, a place where you can relax and God can speak. Here in Proverbs, where it talks about the fear of the Lord being the beginning of wisdom, this word fear here means terror or awe or respect or reverence. It is this feeling that you get when you recognize that you're in the presence of something awesome. We use that word way too much. You know, everything is awesome, like awesome, you know. We don't know what awesome is. Awesome is something that is overwhelming. And that's what our God is. It's something that makes your jaw drop, that you can't believe when you come into contact with it. And there's some things about God that we won't know until we get quiet and still before Him and we are thinking about Him and about His Word, and He'll begin to show Himself to us in a way that will awe us and will give us this fear and this respect of Him that's an appropriate attitude towards Him. And that attitude towards Him of recognizing Him for the awesome and powerful and amazing God that He is where wisdom begins. That is the very foundation of wisdom in our life. Now, what is wisdom? This is a word that throughout my life I've had difficulty nailing it down. What do you guys think? What is wisdom?
Knowing
The ability to know how to do something, or the ability to know how to apply what we know. And I think a real practical way of thinking about it that really has helped me recently, it's the ability to make good decisions. It's the ability to do the right things in a situation because of what we know. And the beginning of that kind of wisdom, the beginning of knowing how to act right and make right decisions, is a right attitude towards God, a right fear of Him, a right awe of Him. And when we have that, then we will choose the kinds of things that we should choose, because we recognize how fearsome and awesome and powerful He is. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So when we be still and we begin to know Him is when we begin to receive understanding. This word knowledge here is a perception of, a skill of being able to use your knowledge or your knowing. When we're quiet before Him and we take the things that we've learned from the Scriptures and from other people, we begin to see how those things work out in our lives. We begin to get that skill to deal with Him properly. And when we begin to know Him and how holy He is and how separate He is from the world and how He has separated ourselves to Him, then we'll begin to have understanding. So what's the difference between understanding and wisdom? Yeah, understanding is really insight into, being able to see what is really going on. It's that whole thing about watching and praying, where we watch and we look and we see what God is doing, we get insight, we get understanding, and then we're able to act appropriately. So wisdom is being able to, once we have this insight and understanding, wisdom is the ability to make decisions based on that. And all of this comes from knowing God and being able to recognize Him and see what it is that He is doing around us. So when we get quiet, we begin to know Him, we begin to recognize Him, and then as we live, we'll begin to get insight into things as we know Him. As we have knowledge of His holiness, we'll begin to see what He's doing in the world, and then we'll begin to get wisdom. We'll fear Him properly, and then we'll begin to make decisions based on what we know about Him and about what He's doing around us. And all of this begins with that quiet time, that going into that closet, that being still, and beginning to get an understanding and a knowledge of Him that is beyond facts. It's being able to hear His voice when He speaks, because oftentimes He speaks very softly. And we have to recognize His voice. Turn to Matthew chapter 11. So when we go into this quiet place, when our minds are still and we are trying to know Him, where does this knowledge come from? Well, this knowledge comes from the Lord Jesus. And the next two verses that we look at are going to help us to understand that more clearly. So Matthew chapter 11, verse 27. Let's start in verse 25. Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them unto babes." There's something that we need to realize about God is that He doesn't reveal everything to everybody. There are a lot of things that He hides. He veils them. He puts them behind things and makes them difficult to see. And then He reveals them to the people that he chooses to reveal them to. And throughout the scriptures, it's interesting that it says over and over that he will hide these things from those people in the world that are considered to be wise and knowledgeable or prudent and know about things. And he will reveal them to those people that, from the world's perspective, are the babes, or the ignorant, or the foolish. And he does this to show his wisdom compared to the wisdom of men. So Jesus is thanking the Father. And he's thanking him that he has done two things. He's thanking him that he has hidden these things from some people. And he's thanking him that he has revealed these things to others. That's an important part of the way God acts in the world. He hides things and he reveals things. And the place where he reveals those things is the quiet, still place. Now, even so, verse 26, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. The Father decided that this is the way that he chose to do things. And in his sight, this was a good and a right way to act. Verse 27, all things have been delivered to me by my Father. So the Father hid things from some people and reveals them to others. And all of these things he delivered or gave to Jesus. And no one knows these things, no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Father wills to reveal him. So God the Father takes all these things, he gives them to Jesus, and then it's Jesus' responsibility to reveal them to the ones that the Father tells him to reveal them to the ones that he wills him to reveal it. So it's Jesus' job when we go into this quiet place. It's not just us on our own. When we go into this quiet place, we are not alone. And when we begin to know God in that quiet place, it's not because we've become smart. It's because the Father has told Jesus to reveal these things to us. And Jesus is doing just that. Now, he took all these things and entrusted them and committed them to Jesus. And the Father and the Son know each other. But men, people, humans in and of ourselves can't know him until he reveals himself to us. So then the Father and the Son will reveal to us these things. So it's the Son's job to actually teach them to us, to give us this knowledge. Now, this word to know, just like we mentioned a while ago, is a lot more than just information. It is an intimate knowing. It is becoming thoroughly acquainted with something and to have accurate and good knowledge. Now, any person can read this book and understand what the writings say. But to fully understand it, to get accurate and right knowledge of what's in here, because scholars all over the world have read it and studied it and misrepresented it, to get accurate and right knowledge of this comes from Jesus. And he reveals it to us. This word reveal, in the last part of verse 27, this information is given to the one who the Son wills to reveal it. Who he wills to reveal the Father to reveal God to. So when we be still, he's already chosen us. We are his children. And what he will do is when we're in that still place, we will come to know God because Jesus will reveal him to us. He will give us revelation of who God is and what he's like. Now, this word reveal is an interesting word. It means to uncover something. You know, the thing about it is that on our own, with our own intellect, we are unable to see God and to really know him. He's covered, he's veiled because of our sin. And it's sin that's between us and him. Adam and Eve didn't have this problem, right? They could see him clearly. But sin has created this covering between us and him, this thing that keeps us from knowing him. And it's Jesus' job to reveal him. It's Jesus' job to uncover him and to show him to us. Now, turn to 1 John chapter 5. First John, chapter 5, verse 20. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Now, one thing that's very important in this passage is to know that we are in him who is true, his Son, Jesus Christ. So when we go into that quiet place, we're not alone. Jesus is there with us. And we know from the verse that we looked at just a minute ago that everything that God wants us to know about himself, he has entrusted to Jesus. He's given it all to him, and he's given Jesus the responsibility of revealing it to the ones that God chooses to reveal it to. And the ones that he chooses to reveal it to is the ones that he's chosen to save, which is us. We are his chosen ones. So when we go into that quiet place and we seek him and we get still, Jesus is there with us. We're not alone. And he is ready to reveal the Father to us. Now, it says, we know that the Son of God has come. So we know that Jesus is real. And it's interesting, there's two words here for know. This first one here where he says, and we know that the Son of God has come, is a word that means that we have observed these facts. We saw him. And John saw him, right? John was one of his disciples. He was there with him. We know that he came. We observed him. We saw him. We touched him. We felt him. We was with him. We know that that happened. And he has given us understanding. He has given us a ability to comprehend him. When God saves us through Jesus, he gives us the ability to know him. So he gives us understanding in order that, or he gives us a mind that can understand him, in order that we might know him who is true. So the second word know here is a different word. And this is that word that I've been talking about all along, this kind of knowing that's intimate. This kind of knowing that is a close, and it's a feeling, and it's a perception that is more than just facts. It's the difference between I know facts about a celebrity, I know my wife, I know my mother, I know my father, I know those people closely and intimately. And that's the difference between these two kinds of knowings. We know as a fact that Jesus came. But to those of us that he has willed to reveal himself to, he gives a mind, an understanding, that is able to know God intimately. That we might be able to know him who is true. This word true here is interesting. This is the same idea that Job talks about oftentimes, where he talks about that God desires people who will worship him in spirit and in truth, in sincerity, in realness. That's what this word here means, that we are able to know intimately him who is true, and as a result, become true and truthful and sincere and real ourselves. This word true means that which not only has a name for being something, but actually is that thing. That thing that is true and genuine and not fake. It's the opposite of what is counterfeit or pretend. So, Jesus begins to reveal the Father to us. He gives us a mind and understanding so that we can know Him who is true, who is real and sincere. And not only can we know Him, but we are also in Him. It's not just that we can know things about Him, but we are one with Him. The Scriptures talks about that, right? That we are the body of Christ, that we are in Him and He is in us. This isn't just interesting words. This isn't just twists and plays, and this isn't just a way of saying something interesting. This is the reality. That in a very real way, spiritually, in a supernatural, spiritual way, Jesus is inside of me. And in that same way, He's inside of you and every other person who has trusted Him. And when He comes inside of us, He gives us an understanding. He gives us a mind that can begin to know God. And then it's His responsibility to bring us to a place where we can know Him. And part of the way that we do that is that we go into a quiet place. We get still at times, and we clear out all these distractions from the world, all these things that are taking up our time and our thoughts, and we allow Him to reveal God to us. And as we come to know Him, we will begin to be wise. We will begin to fear God in a way that will help us to make right decisions. And as we get to know Him in that quiet place, we will begin to have understanding. We'll begin to be able to see Him and what He's doing and how He's acting in the world. When we watch and pray, we'll see Him, we'll understand what He's doing, and know what our part in it is. But all that begins in a quiet place, in a closet, in a place just between us and Him. Because a lot of these things He only speaks very softly. The last verse we'll look at is in 1 Kings. 1 Kings. First Kings chapter 19. This passage we're going to look at is about Elijah. And Elijah just went through this thing where they had the two altars and they poured the water on it and he called down the fire and it dried up all the water and burned up all the offering and all these prophets of Baal were killed. And Jezebel, who was the queen, was not happy about that because she believed in Baal and those were her prophets and Elijah just wiped them all out. And at this point, Elijah is feeling like he's the only one in Israel that hears God's voice and that knows Him. And after he kills all these people, Jezebel decides she's going to kill him. So he goes and leaves. So Elijah's on the run. And he's feeling sorry for himself. And he thinks that he's the only one. And God takes care of him and He feeds him and He gives him the strength. And he's able to go for 40 days and 40 nights based on this food that God gives him. And then he ends up in this cave in verse 9. And there he, Elijah, went into a cave and spent the night in that place. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" So he said, "I have been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts." What does zealous mean?
Strong.
You know, really into it, you know, really dedicated, really working hard, really doing things for the Lord. So he says, "I've been very zealous. I've been very busy for you, Lord. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life." Then he said, "Go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord." So he's hiding in this cave. The Lord comes to him and says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah basically says, "I've been working really hard for you, and I'm the only one. Nobody else is doing anything, and this Jezebel lady is trying to kill me. You know, what's going on here?" So the Lord says, "Okay, go stand outside for a minute." And behold, verse 11. "And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. but the Lord was not in the wind. So the Lord sees this wind, this powerful storm, and it's so powerful that it even breaks rocks off the side of the mountain. But God wasn't in that big storm. And after the wind, an earthquake. So then an earthquake comes and shakes the ground, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. This huge fire comes, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still, small voice. So it was, when Elijah heard it, that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Suddenly, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And then he goes on to talk to him. So, but the idea here is that we can be very zealous for the Lord. And we can feel like we're the only ones. And when he describes this to him, as the Lord goes on, he explains to him that he's got a whole bunch of other people that he's called also, and that haven't bowed their knee to Baal and that still serve him. And God sometimes teaches us these things in a very quiet way. Yeah, there's times that he teaches through the storm. And there's things that he reveals through the earthquake. And there's things that he reveals through the fire. But there's things that he only reveals with a still, small voice. With a delicate, soft, gentle whisper. And we will only know those things. We will only get that understanding if we are willing to listen to that. Willing to get still enough that we can hear it. You know, all this time, Elijah had been serving the Lord, and he didn't realize that there was another person around. God wasn't able to let him know that. It wasn't until he got him in this place where he was in this cave and he was willing to be still and listen, that God revealed to him that he wasn't the only one, that there were thousands of others. And it's the same way with us. When the Lord says, "Be still and know that I am God," what he's saying is, get yourself and your mind in a state where you can hear me. Don't be so busy and so uptight and so entertained to death that even when I'm speaking to you in this small, quiet whisper, that you're unable to hear it. And as a result, you end up like Elijah, thinking that, "Oh, woe is me. I'm in this bad situation," when the whole time the Lord's been whispering and saying, "Here's what I'm doing. Here's who I am. Here's what I'm like." But we haven't been able to hear it because we've been too busy. We haven't been still enough. We haven't been relaxed enough. We haven't ceased from our own striving long enough to hear that gentle whisper, that revelation of himself, that Jesus is there. You know, if it sounds weird to us that Jesus is living inside of us, and that the Holy Spirit is there in us, and that doesn't really feel real, maybe it's because we haven't been still enough and quiet enough to hear his voice. Because he's there. And he's real. And it's his job to reveal these things to us. Because the Father gave him that job. And he will. As soon as we slow down, relax, and get quiet and still enough that we can hear his voice.